A pleasant Friday to you. This is Ozarks at Large. Last month on our program, we heard just a bit from singer-songwriter Kevin MacLachlan. He's originally from a small town in Yukon, Canada, and he was spending some time in Northwest Arkansas as a guest of the House of Songs. In between co-writing sessions and public performances, Kevin stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF to sit down with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis. We'll hear their conversation in just a few minutes, but first, here's one of the performances from that session.
All right, well, my name is Kevin MacLachlan, and this is a song called I Love Yous. Sometimes you give it, and they keep it. Sometimes they don't give it back. Sometimes you hear it when you need it. Sometimes it just falls flat. One time I said it, then pretended I was asleep. I was scared they wouldn't say it too. One time I said it and they didn't even hear it. They didn't have to, they knew. There's a million different things I've said, and there's a million things I'll do. But if you only remember one of them, let it be that I love you. Sometimes you say it like a habit. Sometimes you need the echo. Sometimes you feel you have to say it. Sometimes you don't. Just go. One time I heard it yelled across the room at a drunken house party back home. One time I heard it alongside the wrong name, and that night I left alone. There's a million different things I've said, and there's a million things I'll do. But if you only remember one of them, let it be that I love you. Sometimes I want to say it, but I'm worried I'll keep you too long. Sometimes I go to tell you, but it's too late, you're already gone. There's a million different things I've said, and there's a million things I'll do. But if you only remember one of them, let it be that I love you.
I guess to start off with, you're from the Yukon originally, right?
Yeah, born and raised.
What's it like living there? Because I've always been curious.
It's a pretty amazing community. It's in the middle of mountains and rivers and valleys, and it's a pretty small town. We're about 28,000 people in Whitehorse, which is like the capital where I'm from. But it's beautiful, not only like geographically, mm-hmm. but it's also kind of a funny city because you basically have a town that everyone who lives there has chosen to move there. Like, it's a lot of people from other parts of Canada. And so the overall just, like, energy in the town is amazing because you have tons of people who all really want to live there. And so it's a really positive and, like, supportive environment to grow up in.
Are the winters brutal there?
Yes and no. They're certainly cold. Like, the only reason I know where Fahrenheit and Celsius matches is minus 40 because we've certainly gotten that cold before. But they're also beautiful winters as far as, like, once we get snow, it sticks around and it stays on the trees and, like, you know, clear skies and we get the northern lights and these beautiful things, but they're pretty dark and they're pretty cold.
You've since moved to Toronto, though.
Yeah, I've been kind of in and out of Toronto for the last, like, 4 going on 5 years now.
Not only have you kind of been in and out of Toronto, you've also recently kind of distilled that experience into a performance piece, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I just, honestly, the day before I came out here, was a part of this performance for, I don't know if a company is even the right word, but like an initiative called Artery. And so they have locations in Toronto, New York City, Iceland, like pretty much all over the world. And their idea is like connecting artists with hosts. And so I created like a showcase, essentially, of, like, my music that kind of, like, looked at different chapters in my life, basically that transition from, like, the north to the big city. So my performance was just in a stranger's living room in an apartment in downtown Toronto, and the address was just released on the day, and it was maybe for, like, 10, 11 people. And it was, like, a really intimate showcase, and I hand write out, like, all my songs. That's, I can just remember them better, and that way I like to go back and see, like, what I scribbled out and, you know, what made the cuts and what didn't. But because I have all those, like, hard copies, the way I did the performance is I, like, separated those songs into those kind of chapters in my life. And then, like, each audience member just got to pick a song from that stack, and I played that song and told the story behind it.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was a really unique experience. And something so, like, personal about just going into another person's living space and sitting down and playing your songs.
Well, you were playing these personal songs in a personal living space. What made you really want to kind of put that personal experience of transition out in front of people?
I think what drew me to that is that, like, the way I try and write is from the point of a story first. And while I love playing, you know, a rowdy bar or a busy venue, a lot of the times that story gets lost amongst the noise or, you know, amongst the different things that people are doing. So to be able to, like, distill that experience to such an intimate venue, it really allowed for me to, like, not only actually tell the stories beforehand, but tell the story within the song as well.
Yeah. Now, from what I read about that event, it wasn't just singing. There was a little bit of acting, a little bit of dancing involved.
Yeah. So when I originally moved out east to Toronto, I was just in an area just outside called Oakville, and that is where I went to school, and I actually studied music theater. So I have my degree in music theater, and ironically, that's kind of, I think, also been a big push to, like, my style of storytelling, because, of course, music theater is such a storytelling-based facet. And so those are, certainly elements that I tried to bring to that performance as well amongst the stories. And I'm always up for a bit of dancing.
Right. As we were talking before we went on mic, you've released a couple of albums in the last year.
Yeah.
Last couple of years.
Yeah.
I listened to a little bit of both of them this morning, and they seem to have kind of a sparse acoustic sound. Why did you go for that kind of more open sound rather than trying to find a full band?
What I always end up doing when I find, like, new artists that I really love is I end up, like, going down the YouTube wormhole of trying to find basically, like, live or acoustic versions of their songs. Because, again, I just, like, love the story that usually arrives when you get to hear it in kind of that stripped back way. And while it's great to play with a band and hearing other musicians, like, bring your songs to life is a pretty exceptional experience, I really wanted to be able to put together an album that, like, if you came and saw me play that album top to bottom, it would pretty much sound the same. And I just wanted that experience to be the type of music that I love listening to.
Now, your style of acoustic guitar playing, you've kind of got a bit of percussiveness to it. How did that develop?
Yeah. basically, when I... Like, I took classical guitar lessons back when I was a kid. But, you know, after, like, a couple of years, you're a kid and you're like, well, practicing's the worst. So, you know, you put it away for a few years. And then I got to high school. And, of course, a girl showed up in my life and no better time to pick up the guitar than that. And that was more just, like, you know, looking up Ed Sheeran songs and just four-chord pop songs that I could play. But then when I got to school, like, one of the classes that we got to do in the program that I was in was, like, a commercial voice or, like, a pop music class, basically. And so you could play anything, any contemporary music that wasn't music theater. And when other students, like, found out that I played guitar, it was kind of like, oh, you could probably play this for me. And I didn't have the heart to tell them that I wasn't necessarily good enough at times for some of the songs they wanted me to learn. And so all of a sudden I was just, like, genre bending, basically, and people would throw a country song in front of me or, like, a R&B song, and so I just started playing as much as I could across style, and then there were some other really talented musicians in the program as well who I just got to play with more, and that helped develop, like, a better style and, like, more finger style and more, more rhythmic way of playing, but then also just listening to other artists, and because I didn't have, like, a band playing with me, that percussive feel kind of giving a bit more feeling to the music.
But it's not just percussive. I mean, you've got some nice little melody lines blended in there. It's just, I don't know, it seems like you're a one-man band
guitar. Well, working on it, you know, it's a tough line, hey, of like finding that balance of just making it for yourself, but also, you know, like I have some songs on the album that when I hear them back, I can hear the full band and what that one day version of the track might sound like.
So you're not ruling out a full band.
Oh, heck no. It's too cool of an experience not to.
So where do you find your writing inspiration comes from?
A lot of the time, I mean, I draw from my own experiences and stories and sometimes, yeah, exaggerate or write them out to be a better story itself. But a lot of the time, it's just simplicity, really, was kind of the thing that it distilled down to for me. And it was like telling an honest story. And I started writing songs that were like really specific to home and like where I grew up. And the ironic thing was like the more specific I got in my storytelling, the more people were like, oh yeah, I identify with that. And the more they heard that story for themselves. And so basically when I started hearing that, I stopped trying to reach for what I thought people would want to hear or the type of stories that I felt like I should be saying. And just like when something happened in my life and it was an emotional event, whether that was a relationship or a move or anything in between, I just tried to sit down and write like in the simplest ways what that felt like. And a mentor of mine kind of once said, don't write what you think an emotion feels like. It's like sit down and feel it and then write that feeling. And that was definitely something that I try to pull with me now and just like write how you're honestly feeling, because chances are someone's feeling it too.
So is this your first time in Arkansas?
This is.
Well,
yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts so far?
Honestly, I've been blown away. I didn't have like much of an expectation really coming down, but certainly when I, you know, told people I'm going on Arkansas, people were like, oh, Arkansas, you know, and I think there's perhaps a perception of what people are like here.
Yeah.
And from people I've spoken to, it seems like you guys face that a lot. But I was, all that was immediately blown out of the water, and like everyone has been so kind, so welcoming, and I'm just amazed by like Fayetteville, Bentonville are both like hip and trendy and everyone's biking and there's hipster coffee shops and breweries and all these things that are like now are becoming like staples of any city. And at the same time, yeah, that friendliness and like being able to bike everywhere, these sorts of things that are just like make little towns like this magic.
Yeah.
Plus I saw the Walmart Museum, so I'm doing my due diligence while I'm here.
Do you feel like, and this is just kind of a broad question, do you feel like Canadian culture and Southern culture have anything in common? Oh, I mean, I know you've only been here a couple days.
Great question.
But just from your immediate perceptions.
Yeah, I mean, ironically, I felt more at home here than in Toronto compared to where I grew up.
How so?
Part of that is because, I mean, like, I can see how prevalent nature is here. I mean, driving through all these woods and forests and all the trails that are, like, right near downtown. But it was more that friendliness. I mean, like, everyone here looks you in the eyes when you pass by them on the sidewalk and wants to say hello. And, like, Jamie Lou, when she was taking me around town, we couldn't go into a coffee shop or grocery store without someone she knew saying hi and me getting to be introduced to someone else. And that, like, community side of things, that sort of small-town energy is, I mean, that takes me home. That's totally the kind of environment I grew up in. And I mean, I lamented that as a kid, that my inability to go anywhere with my mom without her, of course, running into someone she knew. And while I love Toronto, and Toronto is a very friendly city, it's also just, you know, busy enough and big enough that people get in their own lane, you know, and kind of keep their head down and their shoulders down too. So I was honestly surprised that I found myself really connecting. I mean, basically like 3,000 miles away.
Right. What's this next song going to be?
This is a song called Backroads. Right. And I wrote it, I was on a bus ride from Ottawa to Toronto on the Greyhound. And they have their own route essentially, so they're not really on the highway, these bus routes. And it was like the 5:30 a.m. bus or something, so I'm kind of in and out of sleep and looking around and realizing like I just have no idea where we are, and it feels like I'm just kind of on these back roads, which is the name of the song, wandering about. And all of a sudden I got this idea for a song, and obviously I couldn't sit down and start playing because I'm in the middle of the bus. But I woke up the lady next to me, just asked her if I could borrow a pen. And I have like this old voice note on my phone of me being like, da-da-da-da-da-da, trying to like think of what the melody would be that eventually turned into this.
Inspiration strikes anywhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm more prepared. Keep a pen with me. Sitting on a bus, 100 miles west. I can't fall asleep at all, but trying my best. Just passed another town that no one knows, and that's called taking the back roads. You can see your breath, cause it's so damn cold, but the chill is familiar, just like the memory's old. Just passed another turn, not sure where it goes, and that's called taking the back roads. And where I'm headed, just don't know, but it's to a place no road can go. Going somewhere, leaving something behind. But if you never leave, you'll never find something new. Gotta find something new. I got up this morning before the sun. Forgot a pen and had to ask to borrow one to write this song for one day a show. And that's called taking the back roads. And why take the highway? That's much too fast. And the fall colors here take me to moments past. Drove past another bridge where the river flows. And that's called taking the back roads. And where I'm headed, I just don't know. But it's to a place no road can go. Going somewhere, leaving something behind. But if you never leave, you'll never find something new. Gotta find something new. I passed broken houses, one was painted blue. And sitting sure gives you time to wonder what to do. But winter's here, and nothing new grows. And that's called taking the back roads. Got the cheapest ticket, could barely afford the cost. But we drove through places you couldn't even find lost. Secret towns where just the wind blows. And that's called taking the back roads. And where I'm headed, I just don't know. But it's to a place no road can go. Going somewhere, leaving something behind. But if you never leave, you'll never find something new. You gotta find something new.
That was great.
Thanks, man.
That was really great. Well, Kevin McLaughlin, thank you so much for spending time with us
today.
Hey,
thank you. My pleasure. Really appreciate you having me in.
That was Canadian singer-songwriter Kevin McLaughlin performing Backroads inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF. He talked with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis last month. You can find out more about Kevin's music by going to his Facebook page.